prayer this morning represents you.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Oh God, we come this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. We come, Father, thanking you for another beautiful Sunday. Thank you for the grace and the love that you allow us to receive this morning. Thank you, Father, because you gave us your strength. Thank you, Father, because of you, Lord Jesus, we have one more opportunity to come into your house of worship and to serve you, oh God. And for that, we are eternal grateful this morning. And so, Father God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that as you move on every heart, oh God, and as you move from heart to heart and breath to breath, oh God, if you see the name this morning, that's I pray that you would look on these people, oh God, that you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as you cleanse us, Lord Jesus, I pray, Father, that you give us more and more of you, more and more of your Holy Spirit. Oh God, we thank you today. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, into this place. Not only we welcome you into this sanctuary, but we welcome you into our temple. Oh God, we pray this morning. You will look on us, provide of pity and compassion. And oh God, that as you look on these, your children, Father, oh God, that you will continue to equip us with a little more grace and a little more mercy. Oh God, we thank you. We bless you and we praise you. We thank you for bringing us through the week, oh God, through the various trials and tribulations. Truly, you've been good unto us. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. The songwriter said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. It is your mercy that endures forever. So it's your mercy that allows us to stand here one more time. It's your mercy that allows us to say, hallelujah, one more time. It's your mercy, oh God, that allows us, Father, to just give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father God, we pray that through the preached word today, that somebody will come to know that Lord and Savior. That somebody, Father God, will not have shut up now, but know that you are a true and a living God. And I pray, Father God, that you don't know that the case, Father, this morning. Turn him up on every leaning side. Oh, God, be that angle that he needs, Father. Give him your revelation, God. And as he preach your word from you, hallelujah, Jesus. Touch the heart of your people. Open up our ears and our eyes. Give us spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word. Oh God, that we might not sin against you. And we might be a witness unto you. And we pray for first lady this morning. We pray that you bless the body, oh God. Heal, oh God. Father God, we pray not only you come on earth, but come on Sister Renee, come on Reverend Tyson, Trustee Randolph. Come on, Mom and Papa Richardson, and all those, Lord Jesus, that are sick and afflicted this morning. Thank you for how you kept your daughter, Nina Bright. Thank you, oh God, for how you looked on her. Thank you, Father God, for your healing virtue. We pray not only for her, but we pray for Dick and Daniel Bright this morning. And we pray for all those that are sick and afflicted, all those that are in hospitals and homes and nursing homes. All those that are convalescing at home. And oh God, we pray for this church body, for the heart of God in this entirety. No matter what means they are communicating with them today, Father. Hallelujah, Holy Spirit. I pray that you will touch these for me. Encourage their heart, strengthen their soul, and heal their mind and their spirit. Oh, we thank you today. We love you. We give you glory. powerful God, we serve.
that we have a powerful God that we serve. Amen. I think I like about that song that we open up with every Sunday is that He is strong and mighty. And that He's mighty in battle. That's the God we serve. The God that is strong and mighty. The God is mighty in battle. That means that there is nothing too hard for God. Amen. And that He's not going to do it to do it. Amen. He's going to let you know. Amen. That it is easier to walk in Jesus. Amen. Anybody ever had to go across your back? In other words, you was in a situation, amen, where you couldn't handle it, amen. And you knew you couldn't handle it, amen. And you understood, amen, that the only way it was going to get done. Ever had a witness? I said the only way it was going to get done, amen, if it's God did it, amen. And somebody said, God did that thing for me, amen. God worked that thing out for me, amen. There was no other way that it was going to get done, amen. And God showed up. Come on now. And God showed up. That's why the song was just lift up your head, don't you, Jesus? He can lift up the everlasting door. And the kingdom glory is now coming. In other words, lift your head up. Keep your head lifted up. Because sooner or later, come on now, God's going to show up, amen. God's going to turn that thing around. God's going to make a way out of the way. God's going to fight your battle. God's going to tell you how mighty He is. God's going to let you know that He is the King of Lord. Hallelujah. So we encourage you today, amen, to continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand, amen. A lot of times, amen, we feel like throwing in the towel. We feel like giving up, amen. Road gets a little weary, amen. Body gets a little tired, amen. But if you hold on to God's unchanging hand, amen, He'll make it all right, amen. Songwriter said, time is filled with swift transition. All of earth and moon can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. And hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to His hand. God's unchanging hand. Hold to His hand. God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Number 248 in your hymn. Time is filled with transition.
Hold to his hand, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand.
Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've been more than enough. And I give you glory, give you honor, and I give you praise. God's been mighty good unto me, not just this week, but God is good all the time.
Amen.
And he is worthy to be praised.
Amen.
I thank God for just blessing me and blessing my family and just keeping my church family and just pray your strength in the Lord, heart of God. Keep holding on to God because nothing is too hard for God to do. He loves you with an everlasting love. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Here we go. All right. It's all right. Glad to be back once again. Thank God for keeping me through everything that's been going on. Yeah. Thank God for keeping my family. Lots been happening, but thank God for my life. I'm pray that he continues to show me the right way to move.
Amen.
And he's been through the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We got one in the back of the house this morning. Amen. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
As they say, count your blessings, name them one by one.
Yeah.
And coming to church this morning, like, I don't know, I said to myself, wow, they're doing construction on Sunday. I'm going. I don't know how long, 5 miles, I don't know, but I know it's in traffic.
Yeah.
And then I just had to sit down and thank God. I was just like, I'm on the way to church. And some people may want to come, but they can't come.
Yeah.
So it's to the point. At least I got transportation to get to church.
Amen.
Even though those traffic might open up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes traffic out there for some reason people are there. Could be something else going on. But I just thank God that, my mind was made up that I'm going to come. Traffic, no traffic. I had to
keep
a hand in the line,
Amen.
Wait. I would have to wait. And nobody, sometimes you have to count your blessings because you don't know how blessed. I'm going to say about how blessed you are that you have the mobile transportation to get where you have to go. Like I said, some people, they could want to come, but they can't come.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thank God for all that he has done in my life and even, my family life and everything else. My hot water heater went out. But I said, Lord, I thank you. Because I got the money to pay for it. That might be something different.
Amen.
I had to wait to see how I'm paying for it. But
Amen.
Just thank God for just being good.
Yeah.
You make a way out of no way.
Yeah.
I just thank him for all you continue to do. Here at the heart of God.
Amen.
Sometimes it seems like you like, okay, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord always steps in, no matter what the situation might be. I just thank God for being that own time God.
Yep.
Looking at a couple of months, we have now our 20th anniversary. Let's just talk about God. Good God. Good God.
Wow.
Wow. And just people just sit back and just think about from day one.
Amen.
They are truly
blessed.
We are blessed.
Yeah.
We are blessed. We are still, as I was saying, we are still standing.
Yeah.
And I just thank God for this. All the things.
Amen. Amen. A little blessing. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We got folks on the line. Amen. We want to give you a testimony about the goodness of the Lord. So we're going to go to our first caller. Last 4 digits 0025. 0025. Good morning.
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, heart of God. I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand. I won't ever let go of God's unchanging hand. In spite of what it looks like, feel like, or be like, God is still in control. And so I know that he is able to do anything but fail because there is no failure in him. And so I'm still leaning, I'm still depending, and I'm still holding on to God, because there is none like him. I've got so much. When I look back over my life, I have so much to thank God for. And so I just thank God for my family, my church family, my pastor, and First Lady. I just thank God for everything, because truly he is a prayer answering God. And I thank God because he is a mighty God. He is a powerful God. He is a great God, and he is an awesome God. And so I thank him this morning for everything that he has done in my life and in the lives of others. God bless you, and have a safe week.
Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Amen. We're going to go to our next caller. Last 4 digits, 7611. 7611, good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. God is also good. I'm praising and hold his hand every day. And each day he showed me that he's still holding on to my hand, and he's making me put a smile on my face. And put a, some days it comes to a frown. Sometimes it comes around and it's a smile again. And God tell you that I got your hand. I got you. I'm still watching, holding on. And I thank God for touching me this morning and opening my eyes and giving me another second chance to stay above this ground and praise his holy name. He said, amen. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Amen. Like, hello, good morning to Megan Bryce. Amen. We see out there holding on to God's unchanging hand. And everyone, whatever way you are communicating with us, amen. We thank God for you tuning in and fellowshipping with us. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask her up tonight. She'll get ready to lead us in prayer. We want to continue to pray one for another, pray for each other, amen. When we pray one for another, amen, that we pray our strength in the Lord, that we will continue to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Pray for our family members, our extended family members. We want to pray, amen, for our political and leaders, and president and vice president. And pray for all of the countries around the world that are going through climate and natural disasters all over the world. We know that there's many that are suffering and many that are in pain and lost houses and loved ones. And we just pray that God would station someone, an angel of people around them that shows of his love and his kindness, his grace and his mercy. And that's what we need in this world today. We need more love. We need more kindness in this world. We need people to have love one for another. Amen. Jesus said, and then we know that we are his disciples, that we have love one for another, amen, and so that we would show love to our fellow neighbors and those that are standing in the need of God's grace and his mercy. So continue to pray, continue to pray for our school children, our school teachers, pray for your First Lady. She hasn't been feeling well last week. Pray for Sister Renee. She hasn't been feeling well last week, amen. So many members, Sister Randolph, amen. All of our church members, amen, they may not be feeling well. And we just pray that God will continue to do what he does, amen. I know there's many times when many have been down and out. Well, have mercy. Many have been sick. Many have been in hospitals, amen. And many have been diagnosed with this or another thing, amen. But God is our healer. Lord, have mercy. As it is, as it is right now. Amen. God is our healer. Amen. And one last prayer request. Pray for my niece, Sarita. Amen. She's Reverend Dr. Gregory's daughter. Amen. That she would be comforted. Her husband was taken off a ventilator this week. He had a brain tumor. Amen. That he went through for the past year, and on this past Saturday, amen, he succumbed to the physical, amen, ailment of the brain tumor, but he knew the Lord and Savior, and Lord as his Savior, amen. And so we thank God that Christians do not mourn like those who have no hope, be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so we thank God that he doesn't have to suffer anymore with that physical ailment, but pray for the family I'm praying for Sarita, amen, that God will give her the strength to be able to make it through the period of time of mourning and missing her husband, amen. I said we don't mourn like those who have no hope, but yet we still mourn, amen. Jesus wept, Jesus cried for his friend Lazarus, amen. And we know, amen, that we are still in the flesh, amen. We'll talk a little bit more about that in our sermon later on. But while we're in this flesh, we thank God that he's given us his spirit to comfort and to soothe us in times of bereavement, in times of mourning. Amen? So I'm going to ask Reverend Sykes if she would lead us in that prayer this morning. Reverend Sykes.
Let us pray. Father, we come this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts and with praise on our lips. Father, we come thanking you for the new mercies, O God, of this day, O God. We thank you, O God, for your grace, O God. We thank you for your faithfulness and your loving kindness toward us. God, we come thanking you, Father, because we know that you are a very present help in times of trouble. And so, Father, we come this morning asking that you would refill us with more of your love and more of your strength, more of your compassion. Lord, we thank you for the blessings of this new day, O God. We thank you, God, for allowing us to be able to inhale and to be able to exhale, O God, on this day, O God. For this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. O God, we come this morning interceding on behalf of mankind this morning, O God. We come praying, O God, this morning for those who are in hospitals and nursing facilities and assisted living places this morning, Father. We come this morning, Father God, lifting up our elderly this morning, Father, lifting up all of our churches and all of our pastors this morning and all of our servant leaders this morning and prayer warriors this morning. We come this morning, God, lifting up our families that are near and our families that are far. Oh, God, we come lifting up those who are unsaved, oh, God, on this morning. And, Father God, we lift up this morning, Father God, those who are listening by whatever mode of communication they might be listening by on this morning, Father. Bless them and keep them, Lord, as only you can, Father. Father, we come lifting up the teachers in the schools, oh, God, and the administrators this morning. Lifting up President Biden this morning, Vice President Kamala Harris this morning, and all the senators and mayors and congressmen, oh, God. Oh, God, give them the strength to make the right decisions where your people are concerned, Father. God, we come this morning, God, lifting up our pastor, Pastor Anthony Quezon Sr. God, bless him, keep him, strengthen him, oh, God. May mold and shape him, oh, God, into the holy man of God that you would have him to be, oh, God. Oh, God, give him that peace, oh, God, that, oh, God, surpasses all understanding, oh, God. Put a shield of protection around him, God, as he go in and as he comes out, oh, God. Pray for our first lady today, oh, God, that you would allow your healing virtue to flow, oh, God, throughout her body, oh, God. Touch every molecule, every nerve, every cell, every joint, every muscle, oh, God. Father God, we come this morning, oh, God, lifting up Sharita this morning, oh, God. You know all about her. Give her the strength she needs, oh, God, to hold on and continue to hold on to your unchanging hand. We pray for Pastor Gregory, oh, God, First Lady Minister Sheila Gregory this morning and the Gregory family this morning. We pray for New Birth Baptist Church this morning. Father God, we pray this morning for Sister Renee Staten this morning, Father God, that you send your healing virtues, oh, God, to her this morning, oh, God. Touch, heal, and deliver in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. We pray for all the Reed families this morning, Father God. Comfort them this morning, oh, God, in their hour of need, oh, God. We pray, oh, God, for the entire Heart of God Baptist Church family, oh, God. Thank you, oh, God, for how far you brought us, oh, God. coming up to 20 years, oh God. We're so grateful.
Yeah,
we're so thankful.
Yeah, yeah,
we're so blessed, oh God.
Yeah.
And so, God,
yeah,
we bless your name and we praise your name, God. It hasn't always been easy, God. We've had
my
some
Lord
ups and some downs, some highs and some lows,
yeah,
God. But through it all, God,
well,
you've been right with us, oh God. And so, God, we're so grateful this morning. We're so thankful this morning, Father God. And, Father, we come this morning lifting up Trustee Violet Randolph, Sister Stevens this morning, Sister Olivia
yeah
this morning, Father God. We come this morning, Father, lifting up Mother Poindexter and the Poindexter family this
yeah
morning.
Yeah,
we
yeah
come this morning, Father, lifting up the Henderson family this morning, Mr.
Yeah,
Claude Henderson this morning, Father God, the Allen family
yeah
this
yeah
morning in its entirety,
yeah,
oh God. We come lifting up Reverend Phyllis Lindsay this morning, the Lindsay
yeah
family this morning, Minister Harris and the Harris family this morning, Father
yeah
God.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
lifting
yeah
up Janice and her two children, oh God, Anthony and his wife this morning, Father God. Oh God, we come
yeah
this morning lifting up Mother Richardson and Pop Richardson this morning, Father God.
Yeah.
Father God, we thank
yeah
you, we bless you, we praise you
thank
this
you
morning because you are good and your mercy it endures forever, Father.
Lord.
And
Lord,
so, Father, we've come this far by faith, leaning on
mm-hmm
you, oh God, trusting in your
yeah
holy word. You've never failed
yeah
us yet. As we come
hello
this morning, Father God, to you, Father God, and we look back over our lives, Father God, and we think things
Lord
over, Father God, we can truly say
truly
that we have
truly
more than one testimony, but we have many
yeah
testimonies because of what
yeah
you have done in our lives, God, because you have been good to us, God. And so, Father, we thank you this morning because from everlasting to everlasting, thou
hello
art God. Allow us
thou
your favor this morning, Father God, that it will rest
yeah
on your people this morning, Father God.
Yeah,
refill
yeah
us, Father God, with your love and your strength
yeah
and your
yeah
compassion
yeah
this morning, Father God. Father
yeah
God, we thank you this morning because if it had not been for you on our side, I
my
said
Lord
if it had not been for you on our side,
my
we
Lord
don't know what we would do, Father God. But in spite of what it looks yeah like, feel like, or be like, God,
my
we
Lord
still say hallelujah to you this morning, Father.
Mm-hmm.
In spite of the aches and the pains that might be racking people's body this morning, Father, we still say hallelujah to you this morning, Father God,
hallelujah,
because you are worthy to be praised. Worthy
yeah
is
yeah
the
yeah
Lamb of God that was slain. And we thank you this morning, Father God. Oh, God, continue to be with us, Father God. Continue to lead, God, and direct us, Father God. Continue
mm-hmm
to give us the strength, Father God, and order our steps
yeah
daily in your word, Father God.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah,
love
yeah, yeah
you, Father God, with our whole heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And we thank you for this opportunity, God. We don't take
mm-hmm
this for granted, Father God, because there's somebody
yeah
that wish they could
my
say
Lord
hallelujah
my
this morning, and they're not able to, God. So,
come
God,
on
we say hallelujah for them this morning because you
yeah
have
yeah
blessed us. You have kept us. You have healed
yeah
us. You have performed
yeah
miracles in our lives, Father God.
Yeah.
And so we thank you this morning. And we bless your name this morning.
Your
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in all of our lives.
Yeah.
All fresh
yeah
on us. Anoint us afresh
yeah
this morning, Father God. As we
yeah
continue,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
Father
yeah
God, to carry out,
yeah
oh God, the task that
yeah
you have assigned our hands to do,
my
Father
Lord,
God.
My Lord, my Lord.
We thank you and we bless your name, God. And we ask all of these petitions in the mighty and the matchless
yeah
and the powerful name of Jesus Christ,
yeah
our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Reverend Sykes, amen, for the servant prayer, amen. Know that God, amen, is still making ways out of no way, amen. Somebody said I had to call on the Lord all night long, Lord have mercy. Sometimes, amen, get to a point, amen, you got to be in his presence, amen. Call on him. Thing that I like, Dr. Lindsay, God said two or three are gathered in his name.
Yes.
Sister Henderson, he said 2 or 3,000. He said 2 or 3 million.
Yes.
Yes. He said there were 2 or 3 gathered in his name. And he'd be in the midst. Lord have mercy. Ain't the Lord all right? He's not a respectable person. He don't need a whole lot of folk. Amen. Come see about his child. Amen. Lord have mercy. God for, amen, letting us know that he's almighty. Amen. But he is not so almighty that he can't come see about his child. Lord have mercy. That's the thing about God that I like. Amen. That he has the whole world in his hand. Amen. And he's strong and mighty. And he's mighty in battle. And he's taking care of the whole world. Amen. But he won't pass you by. Amen. Amen. And I thank God the songwriter said, do not pass me by. Amen. We understand that God is present, very present help in a time of need. That means that he's there all the time. Amen. And he will never be, that's what it says out there. He said, I will never leave you, no forsaken. Amen. And I'm going to take him at his word. Lord have mercy. Amen. That's what God says. Amen. So we thank God today for how he has blessed all of us down through the years, how he's blessed our church and kept us down through the years. Amen. And we know, amen, that God does not change, amen, and that we can hold on to his unchanging hand, amen, and all of our situations and all of our circumstances. Yeah. And so we thank God today, amen, being God and being God Almighty himself, amen, amen. And when you look at it that way, amen, God, amen, has taking care of all of our needs. Amen. Songwriter said, all I have needed, God's hand has provided. Great is his faithfulness, amen, towards me. Amen. There is a verse in the book of Galatians, the sixth chapter. And as we were studying, amen, we understood, amen, that a lot of people over this world who are in the family of God, amen, are still, amen, holding on to God's unchanging hand, amen. And you're in the family of God, that doesn't mean you're exempt, amen, from the trials and the tribulation of this world. And in other words, your family, my family, everybody's family, amen, is not exempt from the trials and the tribulation of this world. It means there's some ups and there's some downs in, amen, all of our lives. And that's why it's so important that the Hebrew writer said that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. In other words, we draw strength from each other, amen. And, amen, all of us have different gifts, amen, that we can share with the family of God, amen, to help strengthen the family of God. Have I got a witness? Yeah. In other words, there's certain things that you have and there's certain things that I have that when we bring them to the family of God, it helps the family, yeah. Amen, yeah. Of God.
Yeah.
Have I got a witness today? Amen. And so what God is wanting us to do, and as Paul was writing to the church at Galatia, is that he was encouraging church, amen, to continue to be faithful, amen, in helping one another out, amen. In other words, we had to get to a place where many people say it takes a village, amen, to raise a child, amen. That it takes the family of God, amen, to keep the body, amen, of God, amen, doing, amen, the work of God, amen. The body of Christ has a work to do, has an assignment to do, amen. And that's why God has placed gifts in the body for the edifying or the building up of the body for the work of the ministry, amen. And so we have to continue to bring our gifts to bear, amen. And so even when you're going through, even when you're tired and don't feel like it, somebody say, I'm tired and don't feel like it. When you're tired and you don't feel like it, amen, what you have to do is remember, amen, that your peace, amen, is important to the puzzle, amen. Your peace is important to the body, amen, so the body can continue to go on, amen, and carry out, amen, the work of the ministry, amen. But what the enemy will do, Dr. Lindsay, amen, is he'll come in, Dr. Sykes, and he'll try to wear you down, amen, where you want to just throw in the towel, amen, and say, forget about it. They ain't going to listen. They ain't going to do right, amen. Why am I wasting my time? Why am I wasting my breath? Why am I wasting my energy? I'm done. I'm not doing it no more. The heck with them. I might not say heck, amen. But God says what you got to realize, amen, is you can't worry, amen, about what they're not doing, amen, because that's the trick of the enemy for you to look at somebody else and identify what they're not doing, amen, and identify, amen, what they're not doing and the reason they're not doing it and how that is impacting and affecting you and affecting the body. But God says, don't worry about that. You're like, He said, because all that's going to do is lead you down a fleshy road, and that fleshy road, amen, will lead you to a fleshy decision, amen? And God said, I have made you a spiritual being. I have created you. I have made you a new creature. The Bible teaches that any man being Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so God says, I want you to behave in a spiritual manner, amen, and not behave in a flesh manner, amen, because the flesh manner will lead you to a fleshy decision. Did I say that too fast? Responding and behaving in a fleshly manner, amen, will cause you to make a fleshy decision, amen? And the flesh, amen, is contrary to the spirit. In other words, the flesh and the spirit have a tug of war, amen? Because there's that one's going to obey God and one's not going to obey God, amen? Do you understand without the Spirit of God on the inside, your flesh is going to do whatever he wants to do. Have I got to wait? Before you left the Holy Spirit on the inside, did your flesh do whatever he wanted to do? It did exactly what it wanted to do, when it wanted to do it, how it wanted to do it, and didn't care because it wanted to do it. Amen? But when the Spirit of God came in on the inside, now you wanted to do the things of the Spirit, but yet you were still in the flesh. Amen. And the flesh wanted to pull you this way and that way. And the spirit says, no, we're not doing that anymore. That is not of God. Amen. And so what God says is what I want you to do, amen, amen, is continue, amen, to do the things of the Spirit. He talks in the same Galatians, the fifth chapter, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He said, I want you to continue to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. That way you don't give room, amen, for the things of the flesh. He gives 17 manifestations of the flesh. He gives not a fruit of the Spirit, and he says, this is what's going on in your body. This is why you don't feel like it. This is why you're tired. This is why you want to give up. This is why you don't want to be bothered with certain things and certain people. I'm meddling now. It's because you still live, what, in the flesh. If you don't believe so, pinch yourself and say, I'm still living in the flesh. I'm still living in this stuff. It doesn't want to obey God. I'm still living in this stuff. It doesn't want to please God. I'm still living in this stuff. It wants to do its own thing. But I thank God I have the Spirit of God, and I have other people in the family of God that have the Spirit of God that will encourage me, and I can encourage them, amen, to continue to do the things of God. The city of Galatia, amen, was a city of people, amen, that was founded, amen, believed, amen, in the first missionary journey of Paul, and they were Jews in that area, and they were living amongst Gentiles because the gospel came to the Jews and the Gentiles, and the Jews got into a thing where they said, well, how can these Gentiles have the same salvation of us, and they don't have to follow the law, and they were trying to incorporate and put the law on the Gentiles, the new converts, and Jesus through Paul through Jesus through Paul said, it's not like that. It's salvation through faith and faith alone. Amen. It's justification by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone. You don't have to put the old things of Moses on these people. Amen. All you have to do is trust that they have by faith received Jesus.
Jesus is their Lord and Savior. Amen. And that the Holy Spirit is working on them just like he's working on you. You don't have to put these things on them. Amen. And look down on them because they're not Jews and they don't have the things of Moses. No, the things of Moses were good for that period of time. But as the Holy Spirit came, as Jesus died, Jesus was buried, Jesus was resurrected, now they are free from those things. You're free from the law, just like you're free from them. They're free from them. Don't put those things back on them anymore. And so what Paul was writing to them is to say, stop doing this thing, amen, in the flesh. The flesh, amen, is contrary to the spirit, that you can't do the things of the spirit. And what you have to do is understand that all of us still live in this stuff, and so it's a daily, amen, thing that we have to get with each other. It's a daily thing that we have to get with the Holy Spirit to carry out the things that are necessary for the body of Christ to function. And so the verse that we're looking at in Galatians, the sixth chapter, is verse 10. And in verse 10 it says, as we there have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them, what? Or out of the what? The household, what? Of faith. And he said, well, how do we do that? If you go back up to verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary, what? In well-doing, for in what? Due season we shall, what? Reap if we faint not. Why would he say that in verse 9? And let us not be weary in well-doing. Because he understands, Jesus through Paul understands, that when we're in this body, from time to time, we'll get what? Weary. Have I got a witness? Anybody ever been weary? Anybody ever get to the point where you're singing that song, why should I be discouraged? And why should the shadow come? Why should my heart be what? Lonely and long for what? Heaven and home. When Jesus is what? My portion. A constant friend is what? He. His eye is on the sparrow and I know what? He watches what? Me. And so what God's saying is, I understand, body of Christ. I understand, family of Christ, that you get a little weary in the flesh. But because you get a little weary in the flesh, he says, I still need you to stay spiritual so that you can continue to contribute to the body of Christ, amen, or whatever your gift is, so that the body of Christ can move forward, amen. I've seen this happen in the family of God where people are tired, people are weary, but because of their faith and trust in God, they continue to do what is required of them, amen, so that the body can benefit and keep moving forward. But the enemy's device and tactic is to wear you out and wear me out, that we forget about the work of the Lord, amen, and begin to come super critical of each other. But God addresses that. If we go back up in Galatians, he goes back up to that in verse 1. In Galatians 6 chapter verse 1, he talks about how we should treat each other. He says in verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you mean Christians have faults too, Dr. Lindsay? If a man be overtaken in a fault, in other words, if a member of the household of faith be taken over a fault, it says, which you are spiritual, again, not fleshy. Those that are spiritual, what? Restore such a one in the what? Spirit, again, what? Of meekness, considering thyself, what? Lest thou also be what? In other words, God said, well, don't get too hard on them. And the reason you shouldn't get too hard on them, amen, because you still live in the flesh too. And from time to time, you're going to act fleshy. I know I'm meddling now. In other words, don't get down on them, amen, too much and act like they're the worst thing that ever happened, amen, because somewhere along the line, come on somebody, amen, you're going to act fleshy too, amen. That's why we have to remain spiritual, because any day, any second, amen, any time of the day, amen, because we live in the flesh, there's an opportunity, amen, for us to make a fault as well. because none of us are fault what? Less. And so because all of us have fault from time to time, what happens is we get a little weary. And so what God says, this is what I want you to do. Lord have mercy. We want you, and Dr. Lindsay, help me out here, bear one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, God said, I want you to act like Jesus. That Jesus bared all the burdens of the world. Amen. And so he said, now what I want you to do, amen, is act like Christ, amen. And when your brother or sister is overtaken in a fault, bear with them, pray with them, restore them in the spirit of meekness, behave in a manner, amen, that is spiritual and not fleshy. Oh, Lord. Because if you act fleshy, amen, instead of spiritual, you're wearing yourself out, amen. Understanding this, amen, that in time after time after time, we've messed up. We've gone to God. God has forgiven us, amen. We got back in line, and somewhere along the line, we fell back down again. But what God does, he comes back in. He what? Picks us up, amen. He cleans us off again, amen, and puts us back in line, and we're able to continue on. God said in his word, he said, be good unto everyone, especially those that are the household of faith. In other words, anybody heard about housekeeping? Housekeeping in the hotel industry. Anybody heard of housekeeping? In other words, housekeeping helps keep the house clean. Without housekeeping, amen, the house would be dirty. Have I got a witness? We need some housekeeping in the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs to understand that we keep the house in the spiritual realm, amen, by praying for each other, by being concerned about each other, by gathering together and showing love for each other, by understanding that people make mistakes and forgiving each other. The Bible says forgive like you want to be forgiven. And these are the things of housekeeping that keeps the house together, of the household of faith, the family of faith, keeping the body of Christ moving forward. But too many times, nobody wants to do any housekeeping. Because they think that they don't, amen, contribute to the dirt in the household. But everybody needs to contribute, amen, to the housekeeping. But the only way you can do that is to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Because if you give room for the flesh, amen, you'll always be finding fault and not giving encouragement and not giving restoration. If you go back to that chapter 5 and you look at that fruit of the spirit, Lord have mercy. And before you can get to the fruit of the spirit, amen, let's begin at verse 22, he talks about the lust of the flesh, or the lust of the flesh, or the things the flesh does. In verse 16, he says, this I say then, walk in the what? Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust, what? Of the flesh. In other words, the two are working against each other. In verse 17, he says, for the lust of the flesh is against the what? The spirit. And the spirit is against what? The flesh. And these are what? Contrary the one to the other, so that you what? Cannot do the things that you would. In other words, every day there's a tug of war between the flesh and the spirit. Has anybody ever gotten to a situation where you felt the flesh wanting to do something or say something to somebody? Amen. And the spirit says, keep quiet and don't say nothing. But the flesh is telling you what? Go ahead, say it, get it right. Because, amen, that's what the flesh want to do. But the spirit is saying, we're going to walk in the spirit. We're going to be patient with them. We're not going to say these things. We're not going to do these things. Because if we say and do these things, it's going to create more problems, amen, than solve anything. Have I got a witness? And so it's contrary to one to another that we're in this battle. And when you're in that battle, if you continue to operate in the flesh, what happens is you get weary because you don't allow the spirit to take over. You're trying to do it in the flesh. And when you try to do it in the flesh, that's how you get weary. But if you do it in the spirit, where the spirit of God is, there's liberty. And you have the ability, amen, to be free from the burden of sin and the burden of the flesh. Look at verse 18. He says, but if ye indeed, if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then he goes on to explain these things that are the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, and I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, we can't make people do the right thing. Think about that. There's nothing that you can do to make them do or make me do or make you do. There's nothing I can do to make you do the right thing. The only thing that can make you do the right thing is the Spirit of God working on you, justifying you, changing that old man into a new man, changing that old way into a new thought, getting to the place where Paul talks about being renewed in the spirit, renewed in the mind. And when you have that transformation, now the things that you used to do, you don't do anymore. The places you used to go, you don't go anymore. But only you and God can participate in that. I can't do anything to get you to change your mind. You have to be led by the Spirit to change your way. And God says if they don't change their ways, they won't be getting into the kingdom of God. And so it's our job to remain spiritual while God works on that thing. Amen. It's sort of like raising a child. Sooner or later, you're going to have to give the child what they need and trust them that they're going to make the right decision. And so he goes on, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, in verse 22, he says, it is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, of such there is no law. In other words, nobody can make you do these things. The Holy Spirit ministered to you, so these things you do by the Spirit. It's not a thing, it's not a law that you have to do it. It's something that the Holy Spirit gives you to be able to do. And in verse 24, it says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust. In other words, on a daily basis, we got to crucify the flesh. There has to be a conscious effort to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. There has to be a constant communication with God. To God, my desire is to do the things that are pleasing in your sight, to love you and to love my fellow man, to walk in the Spirit and do the things of the fruit of the Spirit and not the things of the lust of the flesh. And that's the housekeeping that we have to do in our lives every day. Every day we have to crucify the flesh. The number one housekeeping chore is to make sure the flesh, amen, doesn't take over the Spirit and cause damage to the body of Christ. And so he says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk what? In the Spirit. In verse 26, it says, let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. In other words, we should have this division or this confliction in the body of Christ. But we should walk in the Spirit. And that's when he talks about bearing one another's burden, fulfilling the law of Christ. Look at verse 2 again. It says, bear you one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. He goes on to tell us that he's humble. I said, well, if a man thinks of himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. In other words, my concern should be pleasing to God, not dictating and telling you how to please God, but I should be the one focusing on what I need to do, what I need to clean up, what I need to make right. Amen. And encourage you to get with God and let God encourage you to do what needs to be cleaned up, what needs to be right. And then what God says, then we can have an account with ourselves. It's sort of like the parable that Jesus said, how can someone take a splinter out of somebody else's eye when they got a big old tree branch in their own eye? You're going to do some eye damage. Amen? And that's what we do. We do damage to each other when we try to look down or degrade or cause someone else to do something. But we need to take a look at our own selves and get ourselves, amen, in line with the word of God. Amen? And God says when you do that, then you won't be weary always trying to point finger at somebody else. In other words, we get weary, amen, because, amen, we're worried about the wrong thing. God says don't be weary in well-doing, amen. God says if you do the right thing, amen, what will happen is God will take care of the rest. If you do the things what you were supposed to be doing, if you clean up your house, amen, God will take care of the rest, amen. You won't have to get tired, amen, of taking your care of yourself and my stuff. Let God take care of me. I'm going to let God take care of you, amen. I'm going to be pleasing in the sight of God. You should be pleasing in the sight of God. Then when we work together, if something goes down, amen, something happens, don't get so down on me that you can't forgive me, and don't get so caught up with what I'm doing wrong, amen, that you're always worrying about it. God's going to take care of me, and God's going to take care of you, amen. We think that we need to do is make sure that we're coming together, doing the things of God so that the body of Christ, amen, can move forward. Folk get weary and folk retire from the church. Let me get ready to go now. Go ahead and mark the church. Folk retire from the church because they're worried about what I'm doing. Go ahead and mark. Instead of worrying about what God wants them to do, it was the body of Christ. But the word, if you look over to retirement, the word retirement means that you just not going to do any more work. But I never found any place where, amen, where God, amen, gave you an assignment, amen, and let you retire before that assignment was complete. Amen. I think the average retirement age in the United States is like 67, 70 or something like that. Amen. And you stop doing work. Well, a lot of times people retire. They retire and they're blessed. They do more work after they retire. Amen. Than for the church. Amen. Than when they were working. They got more time. They're more resilient. Amen. But folks retire from the church, and no one reason people retire from the church, amen, because somebody did something to them or said something to them. And if somebody did something to them or said something to them, they retire from the church. Move to Florida, wherever you go, you retire. But God says, amen, don't get weary in well-doing because brother or sister so-and-so is not doing what they're supposed to do. I'm going to say that. I say that too fast. Sister Hedges, I said it too fast. People retire from the church because they're so concerned and worried that somebody else is doing what they're not, that they shouldn't be doing. Amen? And then because they're not doing what they're not supposed to be doing, now I'm going to do what I'm not supposed to be doing. Doesn't make sense. You won't retire from the church because that person is not doing what they're supposed to do, and that person is not doing it for that person. That person's not doing it. That one fell down in that, and that one fell down in that. And that doesn't make sense. And I'm tired of them doing it. I'm tired of them doing this. And I'm tired. And I don't feel like putting up with it anymore. And because I'm tired of them falling down, tired of putting them up, tired of putting up with this and all of this stuff that they doing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do the wrong thing and retire from the church. And the devil said, yeah, I got him. Right where I want him. Keep making him do wrong, him do wrong, the flesh, she do wrong, the flesh, she do wrong, the flesh. And what will happen is that person will get in their feelings, get in their emotions, amen. Forget what the word says, the heck with the body of Christ, heck with them needing my gift, amen. I'm going to retire and move to Florida. Retire, amen. I'm not saying, amen, there's something wrong with retiring, amen. But you can't retire from giving your gift to the body of Christ. As long as you got breath in your body, amen, there's work for you to do. I don't care how young or how old you are, there's something that you contribute to the work in the ministry of God. There is no retirement until God says it's retirement. And when God calls you from labor, what, to reward, then it's time for you to what, retire. So none of us are exempt, amen. I don't care how young or how old you are. there's something, if you're in the body of Christ, that you can contribute to the body of Christ. I don't care if you just sit up in your room in the morning and pray for those, amen, that you need, know, need God. That's your contribution to the body of Christ. Some folks get to the point where they're so mad, they're so pissed off, angry and weary of the church, amen, that they won't even pray for folks. Oh, I'm better than that. They won't even pray for folks. They won't even sing and ask God to touch or minister to somebody else because they're weary in well-doing. And they retire. But Paul says, when you fulfill the law of Christ, in that verse 2 of chapter 6, he says, you're bearing the burden of somebody else. In other words, that you're putting up with my stuff, even though I got some stuff, because that's what Jesus did. Now, anybody can understand that, amen, is that all of us have some stuff in our lives, Lord have mercy. Dr. Lindsay, Dr. Sykes, truth be told, we still got stuff in our lives. Now we got a witness. God says that in spite of the stuff that we got in our lives, that he's still going to have some grace and some mercy or some love toward us. Have I got a witness? He had the Apostle John to write in 1 John 1:9. He says, if you confess your sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. Now we got witness. In other words, Jesus said, well, from time to time, John, they're going to fall down and they're going to get a little dirty. They're going to bump their head and they're going to get out of line. But because I love them so much, come on now. I'm not just going to leave them out there wobbling the muck and the mire, amen. But if they were confessed, if they fell down, come on now. He said in his word, amen, that he would cleanse them, what? From all unrighteousness. In other words, he allows them to start fresh and anew again. I've got a witness. He wasn't just talking to any kind of folk, but he was talking about folk that are the household of God. Amen. In other words, he was telling John that even though folk are saved, but from time to time, they're going to act up because they're still living in the flesh. Have I got a witness? And my brothers and sisters, from time to time, we all going to sin and come short of the glory of God. And we're going to need a little love and a little grace and mercy from one another. Have I got a witness? In other words, we not need to fall for the trick of the devil that you get mad as I don't know what with me and I get mad as I don't know what with you because of what you did to me or what I did to you. Have I got a witness today? God says when you mad as I don't know what and I'm mad as I don't know what, amen, that the work of the body of Christ will not go forward. Have I got a witness? He lets us know that that is the trick of the enemy. But what God says, that if you're truly a child of God, and if you truly have your heart fixed and your mind made up, that you'll take on the law of Christ. And the law of Christ says that I need to bear my burden, the burden of my brother. In other words, what God is saying to us, amen, is we got to have a little more love. We got to have a little more mercy, even when I'm doing the wrong thing. God, have I got a witness today? Sometimes, amen, when you have children, Lord have mercy, they'll get on your last nerve when they're doing the wrong thing. But some kind of way, because they're your children, you have some love. You have some mercy with them. You understand that they're not perfect. You understand that they need a little more patience. They need a little more love. They need a little more time to get it right. Have I got a witness today? So we need to understand as a household of God. Every now and then, we're going to have to do some house. house. I haven't got a witness. If I ever had to clean up the house, go and have some junk over there, had some stuff over there, had some dust up there, had some stuff in the basement, had some stuff in the yard. But you didn't get rid of the yard. You didn't get rid of the basement. You didn't get rid of the chair. You didn't get rid of the table. You didn't get rid of the house. You didn't get rid of the bed. You didn't get rid of any of that stuff, but you did some housekeeping. I've got a witness. You cleaned up the basement. You cleaned up the yard. You cleaned up the shelf. You painted the shutters. You oiled the door because you understood that the house was worth keeping. I've got a witness, and I'm glad today that the law of God is still worth keeping. I've got a witness today.
Somebody, if I restore somebody, have your arms around them, let them know that
it's going to be all right. In Jesus' name, let them know we're not going to throw them away. Got to do some housekeeping. Boy came back looking like it's smelling like pee. The dad said we're going to clean him up. We're going to give him some good food. We're going to put a ring on his finger, give him some nice clothes, amen. And we're going to celebrate, amen, that he came back. Jesus said that's the Christ law, that you and I too was down in the muck and the mire. But how many know that God picked us up out the muck and the mire? Somebody said, I was a wretch under. Songwriter said I was sinking, deep in sin. Far from the peace was gone. Said I was very deeply stained within. Dr. Lindsay, I needed some housekeeping. I was very deeply stained within. Thinking what? To rise no more. Now I got a witness, God, to come. But the master of the sea heard my dirty despairing and cry. I was dirty and stinking, but he didn't let me drown. I was dirty and a wretched son, but the master of the sea heard my despairing and cry. He didn't throw me away. He didn't leave me by myself. He said from the water and lifted me. Has anybody ever been lifted? We've been lifted. We need to lift each other. We need to encourage each other. The master of the sea will heal your despairing cry. From the water, from the water, I cry. God answers. I cry. God answers. You cry. God answers. They cry. God answers. They'll keep crying. They'll keep asking God. God will still answer. God will. I say God will. God will. I say God will. He will never forget you. He will never leave you. Don't forsake you. Why? Because he loves you. Before the foundation of the earth, he loves you. When nobody else loves you. When nobody else cares for you. That's why God said, don't get weary in well doing. Because you'll reap. Just like that father and the prodigal son. He didn't give up on God. He kept praying. The end, I can only imagine when he went down and his dad at night with his boy missing. Then he said, Father, take care of my little boy. Take care of my son. I know he's not in the world right now, but God's going to allow him to get too far gone. God don't let him get too far down. God watch on him all night long. God don't let the enemy take his life. Ah, the prayers of the righteous avail much. And I can see that one day where his son coming from afar off. This time almighty, I know your father, I know your mother, when you was out there, they prayed for you all night long, but they was glad. Have I got a witness that they didn't get weary and well doing, and you came running, I yield, what must I do to be saved? They didn't get weary, and they reached. The blessing of your salvation and my salvation and so many salvations because the household of God didn't get weary in well-doing. Church, we can't get weary in well-doing and listen to this evil and perverse world. God says, don't deceive the seed. He says, you'll reap if you don't get weary. And so we have to continue the labor, we have to continue to do well and do good, especially to the household or the family of God. Can't throw each other away, can't retire. Got to continue to work with each other because the body of Christ needs to reach those who are of the body of Christ. How do you reach those who are in the body of Christ if the church is retired? Can't do it. got to keep ministering to each other. You got to keep loving me inside of me, and I got to keep loving you inside of you to do the worst of God. We need some housekeeping from time to time. But you don't throw the whole house away because you need some housekeeping. What, you going to rip up the floor because you need to dust it? You going to throw the baby out with the bad water? You going to get rid of the house because there's some weeds growing in the yard? You're going to do some work to make it better. Am I got a witness? If it needs some paint, you go up. Paint. If it needs sleeping, you go up. Sleep. If it needs mopping, you go up. Mop. If it needs de-weeding, you go up. You going to de-weed. If the car needs fixing, Lord, how bad you go up? Get it fixed. To the household of faith. Too quick to retire. Too quick to throw it all away. God said, you need to bear somebody when we make that on me. That's not good. Bear somebody else's burden. I ain't got time for that. I'm going to retire. God said, no. You need to bear somebody else's burden. There's a falling storm. Remember, 10 years ago, it might not have been 10 years ago when you fell and bust your heat. Did nobody throw you away? I'm going to stop messing. Go ahead, Bryce. One another bird. Bear one another bird. Walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Contrary, when you get in the flesh, cause you make some flashy decisions, it's not going to work out good, amen? But you keep holding on to God's hand. You keep reading this word, studying where you keep taking care of your household and your housekeeping. Hey, watch God work it out, amen? You'll stand back and say, that floor don't look that bad. Got some new paint on. That floor don't look that bad. They're sweating their mouth. Hey, y'all don't look that bad. God, they did a little weed. Lord have mercy. But we're too quick to do that with each other, especially in the household of faith. Let's love on each other, let's get together, let's do some housekeeping, let's do what's pleasing in the sight of God. Amen? Amen. There might be someone here that doesn't know God in the free part of your life, that doesn't know that God's not going to throw them away. Lord have mercy. That's something to say right there, God. God ain't going to throw you away. You go out and bump your head today, he's not going to throw you away. Lord have mercy. Serve God like that. I know you're going to mess up. But he still went to Calvary's cross. He just said, John, write this down. They confess their sins. I'm going to be faithful and just forgive them. I'll cleanse them of all that righteousness. That thing out of the way and throw it in the sea, forget it, because that would bring it up and keep back in line. But we got folks holding on to stuff for 10, 15 years in the church. Man is, I don't know what. Can't even remember what you're mad about, but I'm mad. Here today, need that God in your life. Please send you an invitation. And you're going to receive him today. But you got to make the choice.
Thank you. Thank you.